All right, brethren, we'll be in Psalm 103. As far as I can tell, we had good services in Danville, and the brethren there send their greetings to you, and they said to thank you for your prayers for them. And I hope you heard the messages. Sunday I preached from Psalm 101 and Psalm 102. And I ended by reading Psalm 103. And I was trying to show the life of a believer. We begin with that strong resolve, and we go through many trials, and then Psalm 103 is where the Lord brings us. And then on Tuesday, we looked only at Psalm 103, and I tried to cover the whole psalm, but I want to try to preach from Psalm 103 again tonight, but only the first five verses. You know, carnal writings of men become old when you repeat them, but not the gospel, not the scriptures. And the reason for that is what we're going to see in our text tonight, is by the Spirit renewing and keeping the word new. That's why Paul said to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you is safe. When I was at Franklin, after hearing my pastor preach a message, I would be there, I'd hear the message, and I would get the cassette tape and listen to it two or three times. And I was thankful for faithful preachers of the past and, you know, books and things that were recorded of their messages. And I was thankful for other pastors current in that day. But the Lord gave me that pastor. And the Lord gives his word for his people through the pastor he's provided to minister to that congregation. And it never failed when I would listen to the messages two or three times. The Lord would reveal things to me that I didn't hear the first time. And it would be a greater blessing than when I heard it the first time. So I want to try to preach this psalm again. I hope you've heard it already, but I want to try to preach Psalm 103 in person for you. I prepared it with you on my heart, and I want to preach it to you. Now, we saw in Psalm 102 how the Lord sends the trial, and he brings us to be like a pelican in the wilderness. And then in Psalm 103, he shows us where he brings us. Look here at these first five verses. David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And here's how David was brought to bless the Lord. This is how he was brought to bless the Lord. Verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Now, I'm not very familiar with eagles, but I do know something about ducks. And I read that the eagle is like the duck in that they molt. They molt. And when a duck molts, they're shedding their old feathers and they're growing new feathers. And when that's taking place, those old feathers become dull and they become motley colored. So much so that a mallard greenhead with all its vibrant colors will look just like a hen, like a mallard hen. Now, you can't tell them apart. Even the green head will become dull and black and brown looking. And when they're molting, they can't fly. They can just kind of scoot across the water, but they can't get any altitude. They can't fly. And that's what he's describing here when he's painting this picture of the eagle. That's how we become in the trial. Like Psalm 102, we saw we're cast down, we're depressed, we're weak, we're like a pelican in the wilderness. But when that eagle sheds its old feathers, then the new colorful feathers replace the old feathers. And they put off the old and they put on the new. They're renewed. And then they take to the sky and they have new life and sing loudly. And that's what God works in his child through this molting season of trial. That's what he's working for us. In the trial, we can't fly. We're weak. We're cast down. We're under the weight of our sinful old man of flesh. Look back there at Psalm 102, verse 3. Listen to David again. He says, verse 3, "My days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. But at the Lord's set time," look down at verse 17, it says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute." He has to bring us to be totally destitute. Totally destitute. "And he will regard the prayer of the destitute. He shall appear," or "he won't despise their prayer. He looks down," verse 19, "he looks down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven." And he's verse 20, "he hears the groaning of the prisoner to loose those that are appointed to death. And he does it to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem." He's going to bring his people to praise his name and give him all the glory as he works this. And so verse 5 in our text, Psalm 103:5 says, "So he satisfieth thy mouth with good things." He feeds us, our inward man. He gives you fresh views of Christ our bread, Christ our strength. And he feeds you inwardly in spirit, by the Spirit of God. "And so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Our inward man is renewed like when God first revealed Christ in your heart. That's your youth. When you first heard the gospel and he first revealed himself to you, he renews you just like it was in the first hour you heard him. And he makes you put off the old man by renewing the inward man with Christ our life and Christ our strength. This is what happens over and over and over through a believer's life. Hosea 2, let's go over there, and I want to show you the Lord declares this, what he'll do for his elect, for his bride. You know, Gomer is us. Gomer is a picture of God's elect, his children, and the Lord said that. In Hosea 3, he said what he's showing here with Hosea and Gomer is the love of the Lord toward his elect Israel. Now look what he says he'll do for us, verse 14. He says, "Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness." He's talking about you who know him, you who are his. "I'll bring her into the wilderness." That's where the pelican was in Psalm 102, remember? "I'm like a pelican in the wilderness." He said, "I'm going to bring her into the wilderness." He's going to discover to us our lewdness, our sin. He's going to discover, make our mirth to cease. But this is also what he's going to do. Our text says it too. He's going to speak comfortably unto her. He's going to feed you, satisfy you with good things. He's going to speak comfortably the gospel, the word of his grace into your heart. "I'll give her her vineyards from thence," from this place, "and the valley of Achor, I'm going to give her for a door of hope." In the valley of trouble, that's what it means. When he brings you into the wilderness and the valley of trouble so that you're destitute. You're destitute. He's going to renew in us the fruit, the vineyard, the fruit of hope in Christ, along with faith in Christ and love for Christ and love for one another. And by doing this inwardly, making you behold Christ and all his benefits towards you, all anew, here's the result. "And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt." Brethren, regeneration is one time. The Lord regenerates us. He creates a new man in us, and you behold Christ, and all things are new. You're reconciled to God, and all things become new. But the renewing of the Holy Ghost is ongoing. I feel sorry for folks who, you know, they get it all patched up right at the beginning, and they don't ever have another problem the rest of the time. That's not so with God's people. You're going to have to be renewed over and over and over. This is really what true sanctification is. This is how he's really going to keep him as being preeminent and keep you and me as being nothing in our own esteem. And when he does this, He keeps doing it. Isaiah 58:11 said, "The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." And when he does this, again, your strength is renewed like it was in the beginning. You behold Christ anew. It's as in the days of our youth when Christ first delivered you out of bondage and made you behold him. Remember what the Lord said to Peter when Peter started his trial, went in his trial? Peter's a believer. He'd been converted. The Lord said, "Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." When you are converted from this pride and arrogancy and boasting and thinking yourself something when you're nothing, when you're converted from that, strengthen your brethren with what I teach you. And that's what Peter did. And you start singing to the Lord. You start really worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Only Christ can create this. This is how he does it the first hour. This is how he does it. Anytime we truly worship him, this is how he does it. And he said you're going to sing just like you did when you were brought out of Egypt. And so back in our text in Psalm 103:1, you start singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." To bless is to praise with the affection and the gratitude from the new man. We get our affection set on the cares and the sins and the troubles and all the things around us. And it takes the Lord working this to set your affection on him so that you really say to yourself, you quit talking to others and quit trying to tell others what to do and you start preaching to your own heart, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, all that's within me. Bless his holy name." It's not only his benefits for which we praise him, it's his holy name. It's God our Savior himself. When you're in the trial and he reveals to you your sin, and he reveals to you your self-righteousness, and reveals to you you've been trying to be self-sufficient, and he shows you all over again that you're not worthy of the least of his mercies. And then he shows you his mercy towards you and that he's just to do it because Christ laid down his life for his people. Justified us so it's just. It's the only thing that is just for God to be merciful to us. And when he shows you that all again, that's when you see his holy name, all his attributes together in his mercy towards you in the salvation of his people. And you say, "Bless his holy name. Everything he's doing is holy and right and just and good." And in this ongoing renewing of the Spirit of God, God won't let us forget him. He won't let us forget him and all his benefits. If it wasn't for God doing this, we would forget him. You see men that go for a while and they believe the gospel, and then one day they act like they never even heard of him. What happened? They forgot him. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 8:12. Moses said when they went into Israel, he said, you're receiving land for which you didn't labor. You're receiving vineyards for which you didn't plant. You didn't do anything to make this happen. You're getting houses for which you didn't build. The Lord said, I'm giving you all this. But he warned them and he said this, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Forget it's he who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness where were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Forget it's him who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. That's what he's going to keep us remembering. And when he brings you here again and you see that you have forgotten him, you were lifted up, and he brings you through this again and renews you in the inward man, and he makes you say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, with everything that's in me, bless him in spirit and in truth. Let me truly worship him, and let me not ever forget all his benefits to me. He's given us the gospel to keep his people in remembrance of him and all his benefits to us. That's what we come to hear preached, is God's benefits to us, his works and what he's doing in saving us from beginning to end. He gave us the Lord's table. Why? This do in remembrance of me. And when he does this renewing work in the heart, we're going to remember him. We're going to remember him. Psalm 102:11, he said, my days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm withered like grass, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations. And here's how. Verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. This is what the Lord continues to do beginning to end. And you'll go a little while, and you'll go through that molting season of trial. And he has to renew you. And he keeps renewing and he keeps renewing. What does he teach us when he renews us? What are these benefits that make us rejoice and bless the Lord and praise the Lord so? Well, first of all, he continually reminds us of the complete forgiveness of our sins. And this is how we are healed. He says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, by one offering, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross perfected forever his sanctified people. God sanctified them, chose them in Christ. Christ came forth, and by his one offering, he perfected his people forever. And when you're born of God, a new man is created in you in the righteousness and holiness of Christ by the incorruptible seed, and there is no sin in that new man. When you die, nothing will have to be done to your spirit. You'll go be with the Lord immediately. It's this flesh you're going to put off, because it's nothing but sin. And he'll have to create a new body that'll be with him, perfect in his righteousness. But the scripture tells us, with his stripes we're healed. Now that happened at Calvary. He said it's finished. With his stripes we're healed. But notice here, all the benefits here end with ETH, and that is that English suffix that means they're ongoing. It's not that he's putting away your sin again. It's that he's continually reminding you by renewing you that he's forgiven all your iniquities. When we're sin sick, we're diseased in our sin nature, and our heart is defiled, we're either in our sin or our self-righteousness or our vain self-sufficiency or all of it. But God's going to put us in the wilderness and he's going to strip us. He will put you in the wilderness and strip you. Bring you like that pelican in the wilderness. But then he'll renew you so that you know. And he makes you know in the court of your conscience that he continually forgiveth all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases. And indeed, he heals all physical diseases. But this right here is the healing of the soul. This comes by the forgiveness of our iniquities. Listen to this from Isaiah 33:24. The inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. He's talking about his people. He won't say, I'm sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. They go together. The healing of the soul, the healing whereby your conscience is purged and you behold Christ and know you're accepted of him. And he's forgiven all your iniquities. This is what heals our sin sickness, our diseases. That's what James was talking about when he said if you're sick, it's sin sickness. This was typified in the leper. The leper had to come one place. The leper couldn't go anywhere else to be healed of his leprosy. He had to come to the high priest. And you're going to have to go to Christ. You got to go to Christ. That's the only place we can be cured. You have to go to Christ. You won't be cured any other place. But he will see to it. His people come to him. He will see to it. His people, he'll renew you. And then and he works this throughout the life of the believer. You go through these scriptures and over and over and over, you're going to find God's people crying out for mercy. Psalm 25:11, David's a believer. And he's saying, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. For it's great. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." He said in Psalm 51:9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." That's what he's talking about forgiving all iniquity and healing our diseases. It's creating a clean heart in us, renewing a right spirit within us, by making us see that he has blotted out all our sins. Forgiveness of sin and healing go together. They're vitally connected. Only Christ can heal us of the spiritual disease caused by our sins. I'm not talking about physical disease. I'm talking about spiritual disease. I'm talking about sin of not being able to trust Christ. It's by Christ speaking into the court of the conscience, making you know all over anew that he forgiveth all thine iniquities, and with his stripes thou art healed. The blood of Christ didn't bring pardon for some of our sins, some of the time. The blood of Christ brings pardon for all our iniquities all the time. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, forgiveth ongoing, all the time, all thine iniquities. And he has to make us know that and keep us knowing that. Then it's well with our soul. Then that's how you have the strength to put off the old man and put on the new man and mount up with wings as eagles and praise the Lord. And really what that is a picture of is you enter into the holy place having your affection set on Christ so that you treat your body and your sins and all your self-righteousness and everything you are in your flesh like a dead dog, nothing, like it is, dead. And you see Christ is your only life. That's the strength. That's our strength. That's our life. And then we rejoice over this next benefit. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, in that first hour, the destruction he's talking about here is the second death. It's eternal condemnation. It's the curse and condemnation of the law. And when Christ first revealed himself to you, the first thing he had to do in us was make us see and confess to him we're worthy of the curse and condemnation of God, and that's all we deserve. That's it. And we're going to have to keep acknowledging that to him. And how are we going to do it? He's going to bring us to see it. He's going to bring us to own it. He's going to bring us to know it like it was that first hour. He continually saves us from destruction, from everything that would destroy us by separating us from him, including our own selves. Including us getting puffed up and thinking that now we can stand. Now we got some strength. Now it's synergistic. Now it's between me and God, this sanctification. He does his part and I do my part. I wish everything, everywhere that's ever been written would be destroyed because it's a lie. You think David right here is praising himself for anything he did? You think he's boasting about anything he had to do with this work? He's giving God all the glory. And when he works this work, you don't have to worry about those writings and false teaching, because when he works this work, he'll make you discard them all. Because you'll know from experience, he's the only one that works this. He's the only one that works this. David said in Psalm 41, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." That's David as a believer writing that. He did that for you in the first hour, but that's David as a believer writing that. And what was the result? David said, "He put a new song in my mouth. Praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord." David had a bunch of marvelous deliverances all through his life, all through the wilderness, all once he got to the throne, then he was out in the wilderness again, and he just kept, the Lord just kept bringing him into these places where he couldn't deliver himself, and the Lord kept delivering him. And by all those lesser redemptions and deliverances, he kept him seeing the great redemption Christ had worked for him, or would work for him at Calvary, that he has redeemed him from eternal destruction. And that's what he's going to keep us knowing. That's what he's going to keep us knowing. And so after each trial, with each renewing, this is the peaceable fruit of righteousness that he worked. This is how he keeps you partaking of his holiness. Right here. He keeps us praising and worshiping the Lord because we see that he continually, verse 4, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Continually. Never a time he's not crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's made us kings unto God by his blood, and he crowns us. And he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He remembers we're dust, and he deals with us as dust. And it keeps on, verse 5, he satisfieth. He keeps satisfying thy mouth with good things. This is how he's crowning you with his loving kindness and his tender mercy. He keeps satisfying your mouth with good things. That means he's feeding you. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. When do you really rejoice in mercy? When do you really rejoice that all your sins are forgiven? In the face of your sin. When you behold your sin. And you behold what you are. And it gets so obnoxious to you that you just. You think that you abhor earthly bread. You abhor your dainty meat, the scripture said. You feel like you're drawing near to death. Like you have drawn near to destruction. And you're not his. Listen to this from Job 33:24. When the Spirit renews you inwardly to behold Christ, and see nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed with him toward you. When he makes you see this, listen to this. Verse 24, then he's, Job 33:24, then he's gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. Christ is at ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. This is renewing. Like when he first called you. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. That is, God will render to you Christ's righteousness. And he looketh upon men, and if any say, I've sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. The Holy Spirit regenerates one time, and you have a new man in you. And he's keeping that new man sustained and alive by Christ in you, Christ the life in you. But there's going to be plenty of times that God renews the renewing of the Holy Ghost, it's called, throughout the life of faith. And he's going to keep his mercies new unto us. That's what Jeremiah said. Lamentations 3:23, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We'd forget him if it wasn't for him doing this. It's how Christ grows us to trust him more and ourselves less. It's how he grows us to love our brethren as Christ loves us. How's that? When we're in that place and you see what a vile wretch you have been and how ignorant and foolish and sinful and ungodly And yet God crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's what you want to do to your brethren. When they're vile and ugly and puffed up and think they somebody when they're not, nothing. Just be gracious and wait and trust the Lord. He's the only one can work this. The only one. He grows us to love our brethren because he never stops showing us. He crowns us with these benefits of grace even while we demerit each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. He has to continually show us this because we continually demerit all this by our sin. So remember, if you're in a trial and you're depressed and you're down and you're weak, assurance and faith are two different things. Faith is just believing God, trusting his word for him to do what he says he'll do. When he does it, he'll give you some assurance in your heart. But there'll be times when you're cast down and you're burdened with your sin and sometimes you just don't know what it is. You don't know what's causing it. You just feel like you're going to fall away. Believe him. Ben say you have to be assured and have all this feeling of I'm his and I know I'm his. No. When you're in darkness, believe him. This is what it is to wait on the Lord. And the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew strength. We see how you're going to do it. He's going to do it in you. In time, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But he's going to keep us knowing that his renewing is the only way we faint not. It's the only way. Have you ever been so weak that you didn't think you knew him, or have you been cocksure you know him ever since he called you? I hope he brings us all through this, because he does bring all his children through this. Every one of them. It's the only way you're going to put off them old feathers and put on the new. And it has to be constantly his work. You can hear Paul say, put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can't be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why preach that then? The same reason he says, tell these dry bones to live. God said, you pray to me, I'll send my spirit, I'll make them live. And he'll send his spirit and he'll renew you in the inward man. It's the only way you're not going to faint. And you'll truly worship him and him only. You'll see then that you were worshiping the works of your hands, that you were trusting your knowledge and trusting something about yourself. And in a little bit more, you'll see, I can't trust a thing about me. And you see, he really is all your wisdom and all your strength and all your redemption and all your rejoicing. He is. Let me show you this. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. We'll close with this. But I want you to see it's the only reason, the only way we're not going to faint. And by not fainting, we mean the only way we're going to keep believing him and him alone, apart from anything in us. Verse 8, he sends you the trial. Paul said, and we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And here's why. He says it's because the Spirit of God renews us, and the life of Christ is manifest in us anew. And he's really manifest to you anew. And then verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. This is the cause. David's telling us in the Psalm. We saw Psalm 102, where he was. Then we see Psalm 103. And Paul's saying the same thing. It's the only way we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward is renewed day by day. Men think they're getting more holy because they don't sin like they used to. That's just your old man of flesh perishing day by day. true godliness and true holiness and true worship is God renewing you in the heart to worship Him in the Spirit alone. And when He does that, that's when you find out, verse 17, that all that affliction, remember Psalm 102 was the prayer of the afflicted, when you're overwhelmed, you start saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, all that's within me, bless. And you find out that that was just a light affliction, which was but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? Because by it, God turns you from looking at things that are seen, makes you see some things that are unseen. The things that are seen are carnal. They'll kill us. That's what He's got to separate us from. He's got to redeem us from that destruction every day, the things we see, and think this is godliness. This is serving God. And then we'll stand one day before God and say, didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't we cast out those vile, sinful devils? We oppressed them. We oppressed them. The Lord said, I saved the oppressed. I never knew you. We got to be renewed to see there ain't a good thing in us. I'm tired of happy preaching. I'm ready to start preaching some Ralph Barnard preaching and just make it say what we are. We're gutter snipes is what we are. We're just the lowest, basest, vilest thing there is. And we need God to save us. And we need Him alone to do the saving. And He's got to keep renewing us to see this flesh is not getting one bit better. It's perishing day by day because it's a sin. That's all it is sin. And the only thing it's going to end in is death. That's what's in your body. And if you trust it, that's where you're going to end up. Trust Christ only. And I don't have a doubt that all His people will, because this renewing work keeps you blessing Him and rejoicing in Him. We'll look at the rest of that Psalm 103 later. But it keeps you looking for things that are seen and makes you see the things that are not seen, what only faith can behold. And that's true worship. That's true worship. Amen.